Praise God again for this beautiful day that the Lord has made. And the Bible says that we should rejoice and be glad in it. So it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It just matters what's going on in heaven. And God is still in control. There was an uprising in heaven a long time ago, but God took care of that, right? And he put that same one that rose up against him under our feet. So we have to be knowledgeable to know that there is nothing else on this earth or under this earth that can stop us because we are his church. We're going to begin today in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Many people are wondering what is going on in this world. I can't tell you about the world. I can just tell you about the church, what's happening in the church, and why God is allowing these things to happen, and why the doors are closing, and why we've been forced to the outside. That's a little bit about what I'll be talking about today. And the title of the message is Gone Fishing. I thought about changing our church sign out there to just say Gone Fishing. How come you guys aren't having church? We've gone fishing. Well, are you at the reservoir, at the park? No, we're everywhere. We're on our telephones. We are ministering to those that we come in contact with. And we're telling them about the good news of Jesus Christ because he is soon to return. Mark 1, verse 16 says this. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Or the King James Version says, "I will make you to become fishermen of men." I will make you to become. I will make you to become. You're not a fisherman of men yet, but I will make you to become. And I believe that's the same thing that the Spirit of Lord is saying to the churches right now. We were in here. We were doing our business as usual. But Jesus says, wait a minute. Stop what you're doing. Come follow me. I'm going to make you to become a fisherman of men. Verse 19, a little further up the shore. He called out to them, come follow me. I'll show you how to fish for people. In verse 18, it says, and they left their nets at once and followed him. So they stopped what they were doing because Jesus said, come here. I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. They stopped what they were doing and they followed him. So that's exactly what's happening in the church right now. We have had to stop what we were doing and just simply follow him. Some of you have to follow him more than you've ever followed him before because the finances aren't coming in. There's sickness in the land. There's all these things that are going on. There's all these landmines that we can walk on and they can explode on us at any time. But he says, follow me. We have to be led by his voice in this hour and understand that he's doing this for a purpose. The church is gone fishing. There's people that need to be saved that we're not yet, and that's what we need to be up to. Our time does not need to be spent on social media, on TV, on Netflix, wasting all this time, because what he's purposed for us to do in this hour is to become fishermen of men, to hone our craft and hone our skill so that souls might be saved. Just a while back, we started our Each One, Reap One campaign at the church, and we were believing that God would save up to 5 people whose names we wrote on a card and placed in a prayer box. The time has come where now we have to go fishing for these people. You should be texting them and calling them. And I would like you, each of you watching and each of you listening today, between now and Easter, to try to reach out to 3 people and believe that God can save them over the phone. I truly believe that can happen. I believe that the harvest is ripe, and we just have to trust that God is going to lead us to who, and they will be ready at that time to accept him as Savior. And what has happened, really, as I preached to an almost an empty church, where has everybody gone? Well, what has happened is our strongest prayer during the Each One, Reap One campaign has come true. And let's look and see what it says. We're in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all towns and places he planned to visit. So Jesus sent them. Verse 2, these were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So here's what we prayed, New Life. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to do what? Ask him to send more workers where? Into his fields. That's exactly what we were praying and believing God for, is that he would send us into his fields. All we were concerned about was coming to church. And he's saying the harvest is not at church. The harvest is in the fields. And we begin to pray, say, Lord, we said, Lord, the harvest is great. The workers are few. And we're asking the Lord of the harvest to send more workers into the fields. And then what happened? The church is emptied out. We are the workers that are supposed to be in the fields, and that's why he sent us out there. We cannot only look at the negative aspect of things, saying, oh, well, they don't want people meeting in 10 or more because the sickness might pass. We got to look at the supernatural. We don't look at just what man says, but what is God up to? The workers have been sent into the fields. Now, listen to what Jesus said. He warned us as well. Now, go. And remember that I am sending you out as lambs among wolves. So there are wolves out there in the fields that we have to be mindful of. And the chief wolf is the devil, but the devil has already been defeated. So let's look at a verse in the Bible, a passage in the Bible that teaches us about how to fight the wolf. We're going to Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says this. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Those of you watching online, type in all caps, full of the Holy Spirit. Church, can you say full of the Holy Spirit? Full of the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus was. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, many of us are in a wilderness situation right now. Nothing looks the same. Everything was green. Everything was open. You could go and come as you choose. But now this land has been turned into a wilderness, and God is going to be able to test us. But we must make sure that we stay full of the Holy Spirit. Be careful how you spend your time during this quarantine. Make sure that you are becoming full of the Holy Spirit so that you might be able to defeat the chief wolf. Let's continue. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Again, I tell you to be careful about which appetite you are feeding during this quarantine. I know all of us are guilty of taking more trips to the refrigerator than we ought to. But I'm talking about those hungers that come from the flesh. The hunger to be entertained, the hunger to watch movies, and the hunger to surf social media. I'm telling you that we've got to tune into our spiritual hunger in this hour, because the time is running out and Jesus wants more people saved than just us. Verse 3, then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. Those watching on Facebook, type no. There are going to be some hungers that rise up in you during this time off to just binge on Netflix and binge on this and binge on that. But you've got to have something inside of your spirit that's stronger than your hunger for the world. And you've got to be able to say no. Because the devil is going to tempt you to waste your time so that you won't be full of the Holy Spirit, but you'll be full of everything else but God. So Jesus said, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. And we know what we do live by, and that's by the word of God. Let's go to verse 5. Then the devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it to all of you I will give all to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, we've even had some help in allowing some of our distractions to fall down in this land. Professional sports and shopping and beauty shops and gyms, all these things have fallen down right now, so we can't worship any other idol. We can't worship ourselves. God is saying, worship me alone. And if you notice, as Jesus fought the devil in the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, his major weapon was the Word of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Each time the Lord would say, no, it is written. So number one, he's full of the Holy Spirit. And number two, he's full of scripture. And the only way to do both of those things is during this lockdown or quarantine or time out, you've got to be praying and you've got to be reading the Word of God so that you might be full of the Holy Spirit and full of his word only, because temptation will be coming to your door. Verse 9, then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, now the devil's quoting scripture to Jesus, he will order his angels to protect and guard you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Verse 13, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. So that should let us know something, that even when we say no and we're strong to resist the devil and temptation and to quote the word of God and be full of the Holy Spirit, there will be a next time. So between this time and the victory that we had against the devil and the next time, we don't take a pause. We don't take a break from not reading the Bible or getting into prayer. We've got to be ready for the next time he comes, that we might be full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 now. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. I can't stress enough that it's not going to be possible when church returns, or church is not going back to normal, but what church will be going to, it's going to be impossible for us to do anything that God is calling us to do without the full power of the Holy Spirit. I'll say it again. You will not be able to stand in these last times when church resumes. It will not be the same church, but you must be full of the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it without him. Jesus would not have sent the Holy Spirit back to earth if we could go on without him. I'm telling you, we need the full power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what happened in verse 14, continuing. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue. And that's what's been happening for such a long time, church. We've been going as usual to the synagogue, as usual to church, as usual to sing songs, as usual to hear a message, but not maybe not even do what you've heard. As usual to after we leave the church, we're going to eat. But even before we leave, we're thinking about what we're going to eat, because it's always been as usual. So God had to shake this earth up to get us out of the as usual and give us an expectation to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power, that we might make a great final push in these last days for many souls to be saved. The last thing you want to do is go to heaven and hear, I never knew you. We desire to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the best thing that we can do as servants is tell other people about Jesus. Now listen to this. Business as usual before was just us being satisfied that we were saved, that we have money in the bank, that we have food. That was business as usual in the previous church age. But in the next church age, it's not going to be about us at all. The next church age requires us to be full of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, that we might go after the lost, that we might go fishing. verse 8:16. When he came to the village of Nazareth, the boy hid home. He went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scripture. But listen, church, something happened differently this time. For such a time as this, something happened differently on this day. Verse 17 says, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And remember, when he said this, he was full of the Holy Spirit. So these were not just words. This was a course of action. This is exactly what he came to do, is destroy the works of Satan. It's the reason why there is an active church in the land right now, because we're supposed to be destroying the works of Satan, and we're anointed to do it. If you're still watching, type in, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And church, I want you to say that now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the reason that it's upon you is so that you can preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. And there's power inside of you and anointing that you carry, that when they hear this good news, they will believe you, they will receive it, and they will be set free. Verse 20 says, he rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. That was his announcement that the Messiah had come, and he had come with all power. And I'm here to tell you today that the same power that he announced that was given to him, the same anointing that was given to him, is upon us right now. Type same anointing. Church, say same anointing. The same anointing. Now listen to this. This is not an anointing to go to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. This is not an anointing to just do business as usual. It's an anointing to preach to the lost and reach a lost and dying world for the kingdom of God. You are not going to fit into this new church. This new church age, you will not fit in if you're going to just continue to do business as usual. If you're just waiting for church to resume so you can go back to normal, you're not going to find a normal church, because the Spirit of the Lord God is being poured out upon all flesh in these last days, so that we have an anointing to preach the gospel, and the churches will be filled with people, and some of these people you won't even like if you're stuck in that old church age. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. It says this, in the last days, and we cannot argue at all that these are the last days. This is some last day stuff that's going on in this world right now. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit. Whose spirit? His spirit. I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. On those days, I will pour out my spirit even on servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Years ago, as I was living in Columbus, Ohio, and I was coming out of my drunk stupor, my stupor of just living in full sin and total rebellion, and I gave my heart back to God, and I started picking up my Bible and reading it again. Every time I'd pick it up, I'd say, 7 out of 10 times, I'd pick up this Bible, and I would open it up, and it'd be on Isaiah 61. And I called it a divine crease, and it was God telling me. He's telling me what I'm telling you. I'm trying to tell you right now that you are all being called into the ministry right now. We've all been relying on pastors, so God had to shut the church down for a little bit and say, it's not about your pastor. It's about the Spirit of the Lord God being upon you to preach. And as I would read Isaiah 61, it would just speak to me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And every time I'd open my Bible, it would just be there. And he was showing me that, boy, I am pouring out my Spirit upon you right now. I am giving you an anointing to preach the gospel, that when people hear it, chains will be broken. When people hear it, their demons will shake and want to flee. And I'm telling you, these are the last and final days, and God is pouring out his Spirit on all flesh for such a time as this. And what are we supposed to be doing? Fishing. All this for fishing? Yes, because we're not fishing for fish. We're fishing for souls. We're trying to snatch souls out of an eternal hell where the worm does not die and the fire is never quenched. We're trying to save people from eternal damnation, and now we've got an anointing to do it. And if they don't receive us, it's okay, because it's not the spirit of ourselves that is upon us. It's the Spirit of the Lord, and they'll just be rejecting God. So it is time that we rise up with this anointing and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. So, when Jesus said, I will make you to become fishers of men, the time is now. And in these last days, his anointing has come upon us to rise up for one of the greatest catches in the history of the world. I believe there will be more souls saved at this time than any other time in all history. How do I know? Because Jesus Christ did some great works, and the apostles did some great works, but we have been destined to do even greater works. We're going to see so many people saved that I believe we will have to have another building to house the church in. You see, I'm not talking about having church service. I'm talking about having a kingdom service. We're not trying to grow the church, because the church age will pass away. We are trying to grow the kingdom, but we've got work to do. The last church age was all about coming to church. This church age is about being the church, allowing the Holy Spirit and his anointing to dwell upon you, that you might preach the gospel. But you must know where to fish, and you also must know who to fish for. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and we're almost done. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 says this. One day, as Jesus was preaching, now stop right there. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching. So, if the same spirit or anointing that was upon the Lord is upon us, what should we be doing as well? Preaching. I'll say it again. Jesus, one day, as Jesus was preaching, you do not have to have a minister's license hanging on your wall to be a preacher. All you have to have is the anointing of the Spirit of God upon you. And he said, in the last days, what is it, April 4th, 5th, where are we? April 5th, 2020, it's the last days. And you might not be able to look up and see it falling from heaven, but if you will get spiritually in tune and inclined to hear the voice of the Lord, you will understand that his Spirit is being poured out upon you. And the way that you can tell is when you're out in public and you see people in fear, there should be something that rises up in you that wants to just say something, just wants to say, hey, it's going to be okay. God's got you. Or when you see stuff on Facebook, this foolishness that they keep writing, something rises up in you that wants to just say something. I'm trying to tell you that the days of us being silent while people die and go to hell are over. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach the gospel. The gospel message must go out now louder than it has ever been before. Inside of each one of our souls is a bell named Liberty, and we must begin to ring that bell named Liberty so that people can hear the sound and know that there is a way out. Many years ago, there's the Underground Railroad was a network of slave trails that would lead from the south to the north, and there would be songs that were coded that people would know where to go and when to leave and how to get to freedom. Who Are we to be silent when our neighbors are going to hell, when we know the way, and especially when there's an anointing upon us? So how then does a person that thought they were a Christian stand before God and hear, "I never knew you"? It's because when he poured out his spirit upon all flesh, you refused to preach. You refused to do his work. You refused to tell people about salvation. And then what does he call them? "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity," or basically, "you sinner." You work towards iniquity instead of working towards salvation. There's a lot of people that go to hell every year that went to church every Sunday. I'll let that marinate. Let's continue. Got so excited, I don't know where I am. I never passed one day as Jesus was preaching. We're in Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in. Oh my goodness, do you hear the revelation in this? That as we preach the gospel, great crowds press in. There has been no better time in history for us to preach the gospel because of what's going on in this world. People don't know what to do. So if you will speak out and ring that liberty bell in your soul, it will sound like music of freedom to them, and they will say, "Thank you so much." So if you're going to use Facebook, ring a bell. If you're going to use Facebook, preach and tell them about the goodness of the Lord your God. Great crowds pressed into him to listen to the word of God. So not to listen to opinions, not to listen to funny jokes, not to read memes, but they pressed in to listen to the word of God. I'm trying to tell you, church, this is the greatest age and time for you to be telling people about Jesus, because this is the time where all the distractions are down so that they can press in. Football's off so they can press in. The beauty shops are closed so they can press in. But you've got to talk about Jesus, and you're anointed to do it. Great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. So God is even looking down right now at all these empty churches and seeing that we have left our boats and now we're just washing our nets, or doing yard work, or just passing the time. Verse 3, stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. So I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that while all these churches are empty right now, that the Lord God himself walks into each one of them and brings his anointing and his power and begins to declare that this is what I want you to do from now on. It's no more business as usual. You've got an anointing to preach the gospel, but all this time we thought all we had was an anointing to praise and worship at church. We thought we had an anointing to sit and listen to messages, but the anointing is for every single one of us to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper." Church, that's where we're going. We're leaving the shallow water of what church used to be, and God is telling us to launch out into the deep because he knows where the fish are. All we've been doing is hanging out with fishermen. Do you hear what I'm saying? We come to church and we just hang out with fishermen when the Great Commission was to go fishing. So now the churches are closed. And like I said, I wished on every church sign, it would just say, "Gone fishing." Because that's exactly what we are supposed to be doing. "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Now listen. What Peter says next is exactly what will happen is if we try to go back to church as normal and church as usual, okay? I'll say it again. What Peter says next is exactly what a lot of church people and pastors will say if they don't just immediately obey what the Spirit of God is saying next and try to go back to what was old. Here's what Peter said. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch anything. Listen, church growth is so slow all over the world because we were doing business as usual and we were hardly ever catching anything. The only thing that we were catching were fish that got mad at their pastor, or fish that didn't like this, or fish didn't like that, and we came over here. Or we were catching fish that accidentally jumped into the boat. We had one come in last night. A man was so tired during the remnant worship last night that he came in and just wanted to lay down and sleep out there. And I said, God, the fish are jumping into the boat. I'm trying to tell you that people are looking for a way out of this mess. Their finances are a mess. Their work schedule is gone, and they're looking for a way out, and we've got hope in Jesus Christ. This is the best time to go fishing in your entire life. And we've got to be willing to go and do what he said. But we can't have the attitude that Peter had, because Peter said, we did that before. We've been fishing before. But Jesus said, but if you say so. Can you type if you say so? Church, can you say if you say so? We've got to be ready for whatever Jesus says when we reconvene. We got to be able to do whatever he says. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. Jesus is tired of churches not getting along and working together. So he had to shut us down and give us time to think about what really matters, which is souls. And now when we reconvene and he tells us all to go to the deeper end and begin to drop our nets, then we will have to call on each other and work together and become the body of Christ that he's always desired. Verse 8. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, and this is what he is saying to us, the church today as well, is this. Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Church, we've been doing it how we knew to do it. I'm not going to say we've been doing it wrong. I'm just going to say we've been doing it how we knew to do it, and we weren't really catching many fish. But now Jesus is saying, I want you to go deeper. Deeper where? I need you to get away from people that look like you. I need you to stop hanging around in the same areas and hanging in shallow water with just fishermen. And I need you to go to where the fish actually are. And that's why the doors are closed now, so we can be among where the fish actually are. And there are four types of fish that we are anointed with the Spirit of the Lord to catch. This is my closing statement. There are four types of fish that we are anointed with the Spirit of the Lord to catch. And we'll find where it is in Luke 4 and 18 when we learn about the anointing God has given us. So let's read that. Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? For he has anointed me to bring good news to who? The poor. That's the first type of fish that we know that we've been anointed to catch is the poor. Not just those lacking money, but those lacking a future in Jesus Christ. Spiritually bankrupt, spiritually poor, depressed, sad, nowhere to turn, no hope. They're poor and they're bankrupt. And Jesus Christ is saying, I've given you anointing to catch those who are poor. He has anointed me to bring good news. If I'm bringing good news to the poor, what did they lack? They lacked good news. They need to know that there is a Savior and there is a provider and there is a healer. So church, you have been anointed to catch the poor. Type that in. I am anointed to catch the poor. That's the first kind of fish. Let's continue on. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. So the second type of fish that we're able to catch are those who are captive. All right. Captive by what? Captive by demonic oppression, captive by stress, captive by hopelessness and depression, captive by suicidal thoughts and ideologies, captive by all these things that the devil has brought to their life to lock them down. They're held captive and they're wrapped tightly in chains. But listen to me. You have an anointing upon your life that when you speak to them, that they have faith that God already deposited, that when they hear the Holy Spirit-filled word that you say to them, their chains will fall off. These are the kind of fish that you have been anointed to catch. Next, that the blind will see. So the third type of fish is the blind. So what is a blind fish or blind person out there? They can't find their way. I'm lost. I need help. I can't see my way out of this situation. I can't see how I'm going to pay this bill. I can't see how my family's going to make it. I can't see how I'm going to put food on the table. I can't see how I can make it to heaven with all the sins that I've committed in my life. I can't see. And Jesus Christ has anointed us with the Spirit to open the eyes of the blind and say that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Finally, it says that the oppressed will be set free. So that's the fourth type of fish that we're going after, the oppressed. So listen, step away from social media. Step away from all these things that have nothing to do with fishing and realize that you have an anointing to go after four types of people, and we all have them in our family. We work with them and they live next door to us. They are poor, they are captive, they are blind, and they are oppressed. And you have an anointing. And you might think to yourself, well, I don't know what to say. You are not going to be saying it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you, for He has anointed you to preach the gospel. You just have to rely on the anointing. Say, Lord, I thank you that you've anointed me to preach to the lost, the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed. There are so many more fish that are still in the sinking waters of hell that have made it into the boat. There's more fish outside of the boat than in the boat. So I'm trying to tell you that you've got an anointing upon you to catch a great catch. And the great awakening is upon us right now for many souls to be saved. But you've got to understand that it was never about coming to church. It was always about being the church and making sure that we were telling the good news to those that needed to hear it. There will be opposition. You will try to speak to them and they might reject you at first, but that's okay. Keep talking. Because the Word of God says that one plants and then one waters, but then God gives the increase. So you don't know where you come along. You might be the first person that tells them about Jesus. Or you might be the second person that just comes to water what they've already heard. But we know that all glory will go to God as the increase of that soul to His kingdom comes from Him alone. So don't take it personal when they reject you, because they rejected Jesus. This is Palm Sunday, where they began to throw the palms on the street as He descended the Mount of Olives and said, Hosanna, Hosanna. And just 1 week later, they said, crucify Him. So if they will turn on Jesus, they will turn on you. But that's not your business. You just understand that you've got an anointing upon your life to preach the gospel, and you can't be silent anymore. If you can send a joke, then you can send hope. If you can send a text about nothing that really ever mattered, then you can send a text about a Savior. It's time to go fishing. And although there is opposition out there, I want to leave you with these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And before I read them, I want you to know if you have any prayer requests at all, start typing them in right now. And we're going to pray live during this broadcast over each prayer request. So start sending them now. But I want to encourage you with these verses. I want you to know that sometimes they will reject you, but that's okay. You're still going to get those hard to catch fish. And here's why. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For although we live in the natural realm, we don't wage a military campaign employing human weapons, using manipulation to achieve our aims. Instead, our spiritual weapons are energized with divine power to effectively dismantle the defenses behind which people hide. So listen, what does that mean? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you to preach to the poor, the captives, the blind, and the oppressed. And when you preach to them, there will be demonic activity in their lives trying to keep them bound, but that's okay. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5, we can demolish, say demolish. Listen to me, type demolish. I'm trying to tell you that that alcoholic uncle that you have and that neighbor that is racist or hates Christians and those atheists, I'm trying to tell you that the anointing upon your life will demolish the arguments they have against Jesus Christ, because what you say won't be from you. It'll be from heaven. And the Lord will speak to that person through you things that only God would have known about them. Maybe things about their childhood, or maybe things that they're struggling with. He might tell you that your neighbor hasn't slept for 3 days because they've got insomnia. And they were going to argue with you about it, but their defenses have been destroyed because God met them right where they were through the anointing that he has placed upon your life. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. You have power from on high to convince the sinner of the Savior. Stop trying to worry about what you will say to them and just know at that divine assignment, at that divine appointment, that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you just as it descended like a dove upon Jesus Christ himself, and he will give you the words to speak that will lead to freedom and liberty. Listen to me. The one that is suicidal doesn't really want to die. They're just in pain. The one that's an alcoholic doesn't really want to be drunk. They just want to escape reality. And Jesus Christ is the ultimate escape of the oppression of the enemy. And you've got an anointing upon your life to bring freedom to them. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have given them to say. I have said what you've given me to say to them. Now may they believe it in the name of Jesus Christ. May the faith that you have deposited into each of us arise for this hour to catch the greatest amount of fish that were ever caught on this earth. So many souls are sinking and lost, God. And they're reaching their hands up, but what they used to reach for is no longer there. But may they hear the bells of freedom ring from our voices and say, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the light. He died to save you. You don't have to die. He already did that. He died that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Jesus, we want to just start thanking you for the fish that are about to come into your kingdom. Our uncles and our aunts, our cousins and our nephews, the janitor at school and our neighbors and our bosses and the people at the grocery store and police officers and firemen, God, and ex-atheists and Satanists, God, we thank you that they're coming into your kingdom right now. For your word says that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. Because we're going to prefer them above us. We're going to tell them the gospel that we've been carrying. I thank you that the church has left the building. I thank you that the gone fishing sign is finally on our doors. May we spend this time fishing and not getting fat. May we spend this time praying and not worrying. Lord, we thank you. Our desire is to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God, you don't even expect us to serve you from our own capacity, from our own mind, from our own talents or abilities, for you have told us already that in these last days, you will pour out your Spirit on all flesh. We receive your Spirit, and we will be obedient to launch out into the deep and drop our nets for those four fish. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name.